So whatever street cred we had, that was the sound of it dying.
No, we never had street cred. Don't worry about that.
Maybe we did, but some of us individually did.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
Got my sweet jerry box with some shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bouncy castle?
Hitler. Just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. This is episode 133, coming from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're talking about what we're looking forward to this NBA season. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacer fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Good to be back. Thursday shows. Let's do it!
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? It's Thirsty Thursday. Drink up.
Company from Eugene, Oregon, out west, our enforcer, John Harper.
What up, boys? Good to be here. And thanks for that reminder, Colson. Almost forgot to drink.
Don't do it. Don't forget.
So the NBA season is young, and we're just getting into it, and a lot of things are going on, some things expected, some things unexpected, and I think it's our job as proper analysts in this 24/7 media cycle to completely overreact from what we've seen so far. Jason, what's the craziest thing you've seen that's a lock for the rest of the season?
Well, this, as I predicted, the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to be amazing this year. So far, their main two cogs, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, averaging north of 40 points a game. They're definitely going to keep that up, I think. And they are going to share. They're going to be co-MVPs, I think.
Ooh.
And win the title. That's what I think is going
to
happen.
Like, that's not even outlandish enough to be funny, Jason.
My prediction is that Russell Westbrook will be only the second player in NBA history to average over 50 points a game for a season, along with Wilt. Yeah, I think that's a lock.
Russ and Wilt.
Yeah.
I was watching their telecast the other night where they were just pounding on the Pelicans. I think it was the Pelicans they were pounding on. Durant and Westbrook both go for 40. It's like the seventh time it had happened in 40 years or something, and they're responsible for three of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Beast mode.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
Opening night victory against, or I guess not opening night, but the day after the opening night, against the Spurs in a hell of a game. I don't know if you guys saw any of that game, but it was a good one. Those guys look good. I hate to bring it to you, Harper, but Billy Donovan can actually coach basketball, it seems like.
No, you don't have to coach Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. They
but he's doing he's doing smart things like offense-defense substitutions and, you know, running a play out of a timeout. Things Scott Brooks never really thought of.
Oh, okay. See, now I get it. So this is one of the crazy extrapolations that you're making from the first three games. I get it.
That's right.
I get it now.
That's right. Oh, I see. Yeah. Exactly.
Based on the early season, I think it's safe to say that the Knicks at 2-1 are going to do better than my 0-win prediction for the season.
Okay.
That's already locked.
Already locked. Well done.
At 2-1, though, they're clearly going to continue with this pace and win 55 games this season.
Mm.
I don't think there's any way around it. The team is amazing. So
number one seed in the East, right?
Or at least home court, first round.
Yeah, I mean it's a soft East. Anything's possible. They're 2-1.
Porzingis had like a dunk. He's probably going to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, he did. I think he broke out a spin move on somebody.
Oh, he did. It was a really slow spin move, but it was awesome.
It was a Dirk Nowitzki spin move in the open court.
And the internet exploded.
It did. Like, oh, my God. You got to love New York fans. They're like, oh, my God. So yeah. I'm going to overreact with them. Yeah, he's clearly Rookie of the Year.
Yep.
There's a guy named Montrezl Harrell. Is that right? Is that how I say that?
I think it's Montrezl, I think.
Montrezl.
I think.
All right.
I'm not sure.
He's currently averaging 85% from the floor, so I'm going to go ahead and say that he will lead the league in field goal percentage and is probably going to be the next Will Chamberlain.
Mm. Easily.
Will aspire to be the next Montrezl.
Yes.
Who does Montrezl play for?
He's the starting power forward for the Houston Rockets.
who are 0-3, so apparently my zero win prediction went to the wrong team.
Mm.
Houston's going to get shut out this year.
I got some good news for the Lance Stephenson lovers in the house. Early season numbers are polling at 55.5% for a 2-point field goal percentage for Lance Stephenson. And 3-point is, well, it's 29%.
Substantially lower.
It's still higher than last year, though.
It's better than last year.
It is. Right? It's better than last year. So he's
when he was historically bad last year.
Yeah, so. He was the worst 3-point shooter of all time last season.
I think they actually they implemented a new rule. So Lance, the 3-point line for Lance is actually different than everyone else. It's like slightly, it's like a foot inside of the regular 3-point arc.
And that may not be enough handicap.
Right.
But I feel like as a coach, if your player was the worst 3-point shooter of all time, you can just go to him and say, "You're the worst 3-point shooter of all time. You are not allowed to shoot threes, or you're sitting on this bench.
You are objectively the worst."
Right.
Well, I was excited that he's doing Lance things again, and we'll link to this this assist that he had the other night, where he sort of jumps into the lane, does like. Throws the ball around his waist a few times and does a behind-the-back assist. It's nice. It's good stuff.
Did he start running down court like before the guy had even caught the ball?
I think so.
Because that's the essence of a Lance Stephenson assist.
Yes. Yeah, he had celebrated before the pass was completed. He was like, this is just awesome. You guys saw this? Oh, man.
Oh, I still remember the one where he gave himself a high five to the camera. Like, as the basket was, the ball was going through the hoop. Man, I miss that stuff so much.
Lancy pants.
Oh, shit.
He's looking like this season he may get enough playing time to get to do some fun things. And the LA crowd's going to eat it up if they're winning, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But
if they're losing.
That's my other prediction, that he's going to supplant Jamal Crawford, and they're going to have to rename the Sixth Man Award after Lance Stephenson after this year. Lance is bringing it. He's back, baby.
I don't bet.
No comment.
And so this one's not... I don't know that this is an overreaction, necessarily, but it's...
I was actually going to do drinks on that note. Because
Lansing
fans win Sixth Man of the Year, this week I'm drinking Terminal Gravity IPA. They're based out of Scenic Enterprise, Oregon. It's a good little microbrew, though.
This week, I'm back on the Gatorade. A long soccer game today. Running low on players, so... I got to keep in tip-top
shape. Running low on electrolytes.
Yeah. I left them on the pitch. Colson, what are you drinking this week?
I am drinking the BBC, the Boulder Beer Company Flashback India-style brown ale. I always like the India brown ales. Little hops to it. Break up some of that sweet. I also have the last of the Dewars from Joey bringing it over last week. So thanks, buddy.
I do need that back, by the way.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. unless you want to baby bird it, come on over.
Pass.
Baby bird.
JT, what's good out east?
I am drinking the limited release DC Brow Pen Quarter Porter. Apparently, I'm not a porter fan. This is not too tasty. Right now. I don't like it very much. So I've been nursing this thing for a while.
Yeah. And the warmer it gets, the better, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also, let this be a warning to you all. Overreaction Theater is no insulation against getting called out if you say Lance Stevenson is going to win something, Andrew.
Yes, exactly. So back to what I was... Yeah, so this may not be like an overreaction. I don't know, but the Warriors look really good. Mm-hmm. They might win 65 or 70 games again this year. They're just blowing people out of the water. Steph Curry is just doing crazy Steph Curry things. I do want to say that... So the opening game... against the Pelicans. Was it the Pelicans? Yeah.
Yep.
Steph Curry comes out and scores 24 in the first quarter.
Yeah, biggest first quarter of his career. Shocking.
After they got the rings and raised the banner, you know, it's like kind of an odd pregame situation, right? It's easy for teams to fall flat there, but the Warriors definitely came out and, you know, the statement to me was, I'm Steph Curry. I'm the MVP. This is my team. We are the Warriors. We are the champs. You have to dethrone us, is basically what came across to me.
Yeah. And, you know, I always think it's ridiculous when people make the argument that somehow the MVP is fluky or something. Like, Steph Curry had one of the greatest years in NBA history by many, many metrics. He absolutely deserved that. Whether his team can keep up that pace over another 82-game season remains to be seen, I suppose. But this is a team that's built to win in the regular season anyway. So, you know.
And apparently the playoffs.
I mean, absolutely, right? I mean, every team wants to win in the playoffs. This team is just packed with great players. I mean, who knows if they're healthy or what. But
yeah, I just thought it was a nice gauntlet or whatever you want to say it, to throw down and be like, look, like... We're here. We're not going anywhere.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And that's the statement that you make, right? Because, you know, one of the best coaching tricks in the bag is how do you maintain the air of underdoggedness when you're the favorite every night?
Yep.
And so they did a good job with that. And, yeah, they're going to win somewhere between 55 and 82. I'm not sure.
Yep.
I've always
82
said,
not out of the realm of possibility.
Not yet. I've always said, though, that jump shooting teams can't repeat as champions. So,
you've always said that?
Yes.
It's one of his go-to sayings.
Very, very quietly. You probably weren't there.
Are you angling for Klay Thompson to make you a t-shirt?
I wear a size large. I like the color yellow. And I will wear it on national TV.
Sure.
Also, Steph has put up in the first three games a 50-point game. And how many 50-point games were there last year? Like six? No, four? Like that doesn't happen very often. He's just coming out of the gate on fire. So,
And they played him. We were talking about how he didn't play in what 20 fourth quarters or something last year. They played him in a fourth quarter where they didn't really need him. Him and Klay Thompson.
Interesting. But it's that old Luke Walton coaching.
It's that, and it was the night the banners went up. You know, they were just, they were showing the home crowd something, so good for them. Yeah.
That was a pretty sweet ceremony. Did you guys see the the ceremony. They like call out all the players, and Steph says some things to the crowd, and they raise the banner. The crowd was just insane. It was good. It was good. Well done.
Nice.
Good on you, Warriors. Alvin Gentry was there because he was coaching the Pelicans, so that was kind of cool.
Oh, nice.
Steve Kerr showed up. That was good.
So here's my other concern about this. Well, this is a concern. Maybe it's an overreaction. Is Boris Diaw is seeing more minutes than David West off the bench in San Antonio. Does this mean that David West is now going to be relegated to a 12th man? That's my overreaction. Concerned about that.
I think Pop is just saving him for the playoffs, buddy. Don't worry.
Okay. You slow play David West.
Okay.
But no, his career is over, by the way.
Anybody else? Is that all you got?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
Detroit, we should probably say something about Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit's going to win the 3-0.
East. 3-0. So it's Detroit and New York, right? Those are the two teams?
Yep.
Coming out of the East?
Or maybe Detroit and Toronto, who's also 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Drummond is... not DeAndre. Andre Drummond is a freaking beast. We already knew that, though.
He's pretty good.
Yeah. Roy Hibbert is back to being Blockosaurus Rex. Bringing defense to L.A.
And so many wins. Oh, wait, no. No wins.
He could have had that here.
He could have had that here.
This is unrelated, but I still overreacted for no reason, but I don't like the fact that Memphis has Jeff Green and Jamichael Green. There's two J Greens on there.
Too much green?
It's too much J Greens. I don't like it.
You only like it when people have multiple guys named Hill on their team?
Yeah, but it's George with a G, Solomon S, and whatever the other guy's name is.
Mm-hmm.
The third Hill.
Jordan. You should probably know him.
Too many Hills, too many Georges.
There's too many, and there's a CJ Miles and a Miles Turner.
Right.
And if CJ Turner existed and played on the Pacers, I think Chris Denner's head would explode at some point. You're like, I have no idea who I'm talking about.
And if I'm nitpicking, which I am, the Grady's call for the, you know, when you make the Pacer make a basket, Jordan Hill and George Hill sounds almost exactly the same.
So. True fact.
But the thing is, statistically, I'm pretty sure I know which one made it.
Right. So, overreaction theater, Jordan Hill was the worst signing in the offseason by any team ever.
That would be overreaction, yes.
Okay.
More than Kristaps Porzingis.
Kid's legit.
Scola's looking good in Toronto, too.
No, he's not.
Scola. Scola.
Scola.
Scola.
Scola.
Scola. Scola.
I'm protesting.
I guess.
We don't have any foreign guys on our team, do we? Oh, we have Jan.
We have Jan.
Right.
Get that shit out of here.
Oh, man. That was a sweet French-on-French centered matchup between him and Gobert. I think that the French trash talk was intense.
I'm sure.
We just couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
Or if we could, we didn't understand it.
You think they had baguettes and a café au lait or something?
Before the game?
Before the game.
And then went and did some parkour afterwards?
Yeah.
Traditional French pastime.
And then afterwards they went and saw like a black and white film noir and just smoked cigarettes inside a movie theater.
Oh yeah.
With a bottle of wine.
Talked about how meaningless life was.
That's right.
I need to hang out with these guys.
What's his Z points?
So they still spoke in English, huh?
Yeah. What is the point in speaking in French? We go speaking English with this crazy accents the whole time.
So, Harper, you pointed out something crazy to me this week. Something crazy going on the East Coast.
I did. I was unaware of this until the game actually went down, but apparently Jason's Washington Wizards has a guy named Jared Dudley on their team.
Yeah.
And
Jared.
Yeah. And Jared took time out of his postseason this year to make sure that Carmelo Anthony knew that he was overrated.
Mm.
His reasoning has something to do with about how deep he took his team. And, yeah, I don't really know. The guy's name is Jared Dudley, and he's not that good.
Weren't they on a Knicks team together, I feel like? Or no?
I mean, that must have been, right?
Jared Dudley's been all over the NBA. He could have been everywhere, yeah.
I don't know that he played for the Knicks, but...
Okay.
But Google will tell us.
Google will let us know. But apparently, and this is the really shocking part of this story, when you do an interview with a national ESPN reporter, other guys found out about that stuff. And, yeah, Carmelo went ahead and dropped 37, saying that he had – and maybe the most ridiculous part of the story is Carmelo circled the third game of the season on his calendar as if it were meaningful. But up until that point, he had been shooting like 33% and was completely terrible, which almost begs the question if Jared Dudley had a point. But when you're that – Jared Dudley may be overrated if you know his name. So – I don't think that he's got any right to put that out there. And it certainly didn't help his team.
I do like that Carmelo Anthony has so much pride that he had to circle game 3 of the NBA season to show Jared Dudley what's what. Last year he couldn't even tough it out for the Knicks and had to shut it down for half the season because he was quasi-injured. It's like, no, I just don't want to play.
Do you think he wrote on that game, it said versus Wizards, and he just wrote in pen, show Jared Dudley what's what?
Yeah, he definitely did.
Jared Dudley never played for the Knicks. He's played for the Bobcats before they were up the Hornets, clearly, the Suns, the Clippers, the Bucks, and now the Wizards. So,
well, so what's funny is he played for the Bobcats, the Suns, then the Bobcats, then the Suns.
Yeah.
Apparently, they were just kicking him back and forth for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. Huh.
You like him. No, you like him.
He's actually, I don't mind Jared Dudley, actually. I think he's a decent NBA guy.
He can
play the sort of stretch four, stretch 3-4. He can shoot the three. He's actually a pretty good interview. He was on Zach Lowe's podcast and talks pretty frankly about sort of shit in the NBA
and how bad Carmelo sucks.
Refreshing. Yeah, and how bad Carmelo sucks. And then gets owned. Yeah. So you know, whatever.
See, in order
it's
to
good
be
for
a,
everybody,
in order to be a good role player, however, you have to not piss off the opponent.
Yeah,
that's sort of part and parcel of that job.
Well, I mean, he's only an 8-year veteran, so
right.
I mean,
he'll get it figured out at some
he'll
point.
Learn this.
Learn when not to poke the bear.
Exactly. Kids, the answer is never.
That's right.
Never poke the bear.
Can you poke the moon dog?
Identifying the bear, I guess, is the hard part, though.
Yeah, poking the bear is the easy part.
That's right.
Well, I think it's a good time for a break. We got some music. We got recommendations from Baby D of Bringing Down the Band. This week, we got Philmatic out of Bloomington, Indiana, from the solo album. We'll get a link to it. You can buy it on Bandcamp. But this song is called Patty Cake. It's featuring Ace One, who we've had on our show before, in El Ion. So check it out. check it out.
Yo, patty cake, flip the hot shit. Uh-huh. This is for the homies that I rock with. We ain't touched down, it's Philly on the wheel, L in the cockpit. Turn this old crowd to a mosh pit. Hop on the dirt bike, I rob a bank, hit the turnpike. This my third strike, and in case you ain't heard right, I'm sick in the head and my mental state make me unpredictable enough to make you hyperventilate. That's the sound of you sucking for air. You can't breathe, and why the fuck would I care? All you nonsense, rapping ass cats got nothing but flair, but they ain't got the real sense to see you nothing but scared. Man, it's unbelievable the shit I see with you lame fucks trying to get famous. Better run and get your change cups, you ain't got shit. Rhymes recycled, lines copied and retitled by your street idol. Damn, industry beats don't make you sound hot. I drop the shit to make your undies have a brown spot. Rappers think they special when I'm supposed to be shocked, cause they rock for 50 people when they locally hot. Don't make me laugh, the shit is choking me, stop. In a year,
the Filmatic, thank you, sir. We'll get that linked on Bandcamp. You can buy the whole album. You can stream the whole thing for free. You can listen to it right on Bandcamp. And a lot of good songs on there. I like a lot. Next one. It's our first one for the year. It's my stat of the week.
Joey, stat of the week.
You know, we've had for a long time, you guys, teasing Jan Mahimni for his passing abilities, or lack thereof. But this year, my stat of the week is that he is averaging one per game, which is what I predicted.
What?
Yeah, court vision, he has it. I'll tell you what, that guy worked really hard this offseason. I know he worked a lot on his shooting. His field goal percentage is much better. He can take, he can take open looks if he got it. Better on the basket, but he's gonna have guys to pass to. They were always there in the past, he's getting older. The game slows down as you get older, and hopefully, I think he's coming into his own as just a better all round basketball player.
Triple double machine.
It's a reach. Overreaction theater is over now.
Sorry.
But you're saying he's going to average one assist a game, which would absolutely destroy anyone in the running. Like, it could be that Miles Turner is going to play the Yinkadari Cup with him this year. We'll see. But one a game would be... he can't even be in the conversation.
No.
With one a game. You're saying this is from age and experience, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he's worked hard at his craft, and the assist came anyway, you know?
Yeah, I can't say as I felt like I saw Jan Mahimni dropping any dimes, I wouldn't say, but sure, if you say he's got one a game, I'll buy it. He's out there enough.
These are stats.
These are statistics. They're facts that can't be argued.
Well, I've seen questionable assists before.
Too encouraged by his shooting performance, but he does. I mean, he hit a couple 15-footers.
Yeah,
which before he would never even
think
about that.
But so. I mean, is he really doing? I mean, outside of hitting a couple of jumpers, he's kind of who he was. I mean, what he brings is hustle and some defense and, terrible shooting from the free throw line. And he's kind of who he always was, right? Except apparently he can drop dimes.
I guess my question, though, is should he be starting for a team with the skill set that he has?
Meaning his skill set is kind of for perfect backup center sort of thing. Like, he can give you 15 minutes of defense and rebounding.
Yeah, is your question, should he be starting for our team, or should he be a starting center in the NBA?
Well, I think the answer to the latter is no.
Right.
But he's currently starting for our team.
Right.
So I'll hedge that and say, should he be starting for our team, because there aren't a lot of teams who would start Jan Mahimni. And I
nope.
Go ahead.
Well, we discussed in the offseason that it might be good to start Jan as long as Paul George is starting at power forward, because it's nice to have a veteran out there, a guy who plays defense, who can take a bigger, tougher guy. We didn't necessarily want to start a rookie next to Paul George, and Miles Turner's really the only option outside of Jan, right. Isn't he?
But my problem is, what is Jan best at on our team? What does he do best on our team? Better than anybody else.
Defends the post better than anybody on the team.
I'm not sure that that's proven, and we've been doing a bad enough job against post players so far this season that it's almost, I mean, concede the post based on the numbers that centers are throwing up against us.
Well, sure, but you asked me what he does best on our team. I'm not saying that anybody else on the team can defend the post, but Jan does it the best.
I agree with that.
But does that mean that Miles Turner can't do it better?
So you're saying that we
right
just
now,
need to throw,
no,
this,
he can't.
To throw this to the rookie and just go through it. Is that what you're suggesting, Harper?
I mean, Jan is... I don't think that we can say that he's our best rebounder. And he's certainly not a dominant rebounder in any case. Lavoie is probably a better rebounder overall, right?
Yes, without a doubt.
Probably. I think in terms of black-holedness, he's legendary. So he's not going to get any assists or help our offense in any meaningful way.
Can you define black-holedness for
us? We throw the ball in and it ain't ever coming out. And in spite of that one assist per game, statistical aberration.
Do you remember Ron Artest, Joey?
I do.
Ron Artest had a high black-holedness index number.
And so he's certainly not our best offensive option at that position.
Nope.
So you can make the argument that maybe he should start against true centers in situations where we've got a solid four and a solid five against a team like Memphis, right, where we've got to guard both of those front court positions. Mm-hmm. I can see starting him in those. But most teams have a solid 4-5.
So the thing that I like about having Jan start and bringing the rook off the bench is that when we do that, the rookie can be one of the main offensive options, which I think is good for him developmentally and good for the team, because he's actually pretty effective as an offensive player. If you put him into the starting lineup, I think that his development sort of paradoxically is going to be stunted, I think.
And see, I would make the opposite argument, which is putting him out there against the best players is going to increase his learning curve.
But you do make a good point about the balance of the scoring versus defense. I mean, you think about having a player that doesn't have to have the ball when we have a bunch of other guys like CJ Miles, Monta Ellis, George Hill, and Paul George are all offensive threats. It's nice to have a guy that doesn't have to get a touch.
Which one of these guys are you talking about?
I'm talking about Jan Mahimny. I mean,
so you think Miles Turner's in a position to just demand the ball on offense?
No. What I'm saying is it's nice that, to Jason's point, he can have some offensive touches in that second unit, because there's not as many ball-dominant players.
I mean, that's the thing. This guy can shoot from three-point land. He's going to get touches with that first team. I mean, most of his shots have been coming from 16 feet and out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he's going to be most effective, is a stretch five. And he's our best shot blocker.
Yeah. And does he have some post game? And more than Jan, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Way more than Jan.
So we could throw it to him in the post if we wanted. Which could open up things for rest of the players.
Right. The fear is that he's a 19-year-old kid that is just going to get shellacked on the defensive end, right? I mean, because defensively it's not just defending the post that rim protector has to do. He kind of has to quarterback the entire defense, right?
Oh, don't worry. We don't play defense.
Okay.
No, so but I mean, being the last line of defense, it definitely matters. And Jan understands our defensive scheme. He's a vet.
Well, I suppose
I think,
so.
I think that's why Vogel has him in the starting lineup.
Say that Jan is quarterbacking anything on our team, for me, that feels like a stretch. I don't see him out there barking at guys to get into their position. I don't see him doing that.
Hmm.
And I'm not saying it wouldn't be a great thing if he didn't. And I'm not saying that he doesn't understand our system and he can't. I'm just saying that I don't see him doing that actively.
I feel like David and West did that last year.
Right. Who's I almost feel like Miles Turner is more likely to be the one to do that based on what I've seen out of the kids so far. He might be wrong 90% of the time, but he'll yell something.
Right. No, I mean, I think that you bring a very good point up because I think that in the long term, I mean, obviously we feel that Turner is a starter in this league, right? And or the franchise, I guess I should say, is feels that he could be a starter in this league. So why not just throw him to the Wolves and let him learn at a higher rate? And maybe they will eventually, and maybe they're sort of easing him into it. I mean, they're definitely concerned about his conditioning and his health, right? I mean, they've been taking it slow with him.
As they should.
Sort of because of his knees and his ankle and stuff like this. So,
an 82-game season for any guy who's never done it before, it's a slog, no matter what.
Yeah.
I certainly appreciate
rookies
that.
Rookies always hit a wall and all that. But, I mean, you know, the point that we might as well throw him in and let him lose while the rest of the team is losing is not a terrible point. While we're all figuring this out, you know, I mean, this is a whole new style of play. And if he's eventually going to be our starting center, why not learn together with him as that starting center?
Yeah, and well, I mean, for me, the argument is that, look, this isn't a lost season. But this is about developing a new system, developing the players, and developing the team from a chemistry standpoint. And so having them out there with the starting five, yes, he plays great competition. But that doesn't mean just giving up games, right? We can yank him at any time. I think we want him to have that confidence, but we also want him to learn how to play with these guys because I think that he is our answer at five. I think that he's a perfect answer for us at five with the way that he stretches the floor and the way that he can block shots.
Also, we're 0-3, so it's already a lost season.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I think that the thing that it also highlights is the fact that the rest of our bigs are not really that competent at all, right?
Agreed.
I mean, Jordan Hill's been in this league for 7 years, and I wouldn't trust him to inbound the ball, you know, after a made basket, you know.
I think Jordan Hill is a little bit better than you've been beating up on him for, but not a lot.
Does he look like he's wasted every game?
Like during the game?
Like during the game, if you just look at his face. He looks stoned. He looks stoned every game.
I'm actually been surprised.
Yeah, but not really stoned. Just like a nice buff.
I mean, not Sam Perkins stoned, but like Travis Best.
Like more of a Travis Best.
More like Allen Iverson stoned, right?
Right.
Just something to take the edge off.
Exactly. Sure.
Because
there's a lot of pressure with being the backup to the backup five on a team that isn't predicted to win 50% of its games.
He might see minutes over Shane Winnington potentially.
Oh no, that will happen.
Yeah. No, but I am. I must say that I'm surprised that LaVoie Allen hasn't come out more. Determination, more confidence. I don't know. I expected him to sort of embrace
this. Surprised
this.
By that? Come on.
No. I think that
LaVoie Allen.
No, I think the kid is. I think the kid is incredibly talented. Every time we see him, he's getting the offensive rebound. He's hitting an open jumper. Like he does the little things. And that's why I like him. That's why he's one of my favorite players. And
I totally agree with you.
I thought he would embrace that and realize that there was a hole here at big men and get a lot of minutes.
I totally agree with you, but he's never struck me as the kind of guy that's like super self confident and is going to go out there and take what's his and whatnot. You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't expect him to become a superstar, but I figured he'd become like just clearly a really strong contributor, and he hasn't done that in the first three games.
So my thing with LaVoie is that, and you guys are welcome to take issue with this, but I just don't think he's very talented. Hmm. Right? He's got a really low ceiling, but he works his ass off. The guy's a bulldog, right? But there's just not anywhere for him to go. You know what I mean?
But I mean, mm-hmm. Don't you think that's a niche is offensive rebounding and 16 footers, like, and working your butt off? Like, I feel like that you can play 20 minutes a night in the NBA doing that stuff.
Yeah, but Jordan Hill has way more talent.
Yeah, but doesn't work as hard.
I know. That's why it's a coin flip.
Yeah.
And that'll work itself out over the course of the season. Either Jordan Hill gets better or LaVoy Allen takes his minutes. It's that simple, right? I mean, that's why you have guys like LaVoy on your team, is to make the other guys work harder, because they know that there's somebody always nipping at their heels.
Right. Unless you're Jordan Hill and you're stoned all the time.
Right. They just don't notice.
Fucking nipping at your heels. I've definitely been shitting on Jordan Hill a lot to start the season.
It's been a bad start. There's no two ways about that.
Okay. So, but you see something in him, obviously, that I don't. Like, because I feel like he's at, like, what is his ceiling? Is his ceiling much better than what he's doing now?
I mean,
his ceiling is 7-7, right? That's his ceiling.
No. No, that's incorrect. I mean, he's had better stats than that in his career.
Okay, 12-7.
12-8 or something.
Yeah.
Like, but, that's his ceiling, right?
12-8 is not that bad, right? No. If you're playing within a system and you are doing 12-8, like, that's...
But, like, what does he do? How does he get those 12 points? That's what I don't see, I guess.
Right, and what you want him doing is getting those scrappy points, right? Right. You want him... against a second team, to out-hustle. He's not out-muscling anybody. He's out quicking, mm-hmm. and out-hustling people.
Out-jumping, yeah.
Right, to get to the rim, get those putbacks. And I think that he can be that for us.
So it's not that you don't see him, like...
There's no lead.
It's not like he's ever going to dream shake on somebody in the post.
No, there's no lead for him. He's never a go-to guy. But he can be a really useful contributor off the bench.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I would make no argument that he should start for us. Although I do... part of me says that he can pass a little bit better than Jan, and maybe he does make more sense than Jan as a starter. I like Jan better. Jan is a better teammate. Jan starts. But if you just looked at it on paper, Jordan Hill may make more
If Jordan
sense.
Hill defended the rim or the post better than he's shown me so far, then I'd be down for that. But
what does Jan bring you in terms of blocks versus Jordan Hill? I mean, it's not that big a jump, I don't think. He's a better man-to-man post defender, I agree. But we're going to be bringing a lot of help in the posts anyway, right?
Right.
It's a mess. So the question is,
can we bring Roy? When did we bring Roy back in? God damn it.
The question, though, is how do we get better, right? We need to make a leap as a team. Part of that's cohesiveness. Part of that is Paul George settling into his role, which he will. He looked way more comfortable against the Jazz than he did in the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
He's starting to look smooth again, right? And that's bit.
He's getting there. The flashes are getting more frequent.
Yeah. Exactly.
Monta Ellis, needs to settle into his role.
But what is that role, though? I mean, I think that's part of the question.
I mean, he's an undersized two guard that does a lot of the ball handling with George Hill. I don't know. He should be a slasher. And that frees up George Hill to be more of a spot up shooter, which is kind of working. But Ellis isn't exactly getting the, assists or the. I mean, I guess he's got 4 assists a game, but he's not exactly lighting the world on fire so far.
Does Frank know the answer to that question?
I certainly hope so. But my thing is, Monta Ellis is like one of the better pick and roll guys in the league, mm-hmm. and I feel like we haven't seen a lot of Monta Ellis. Pick and rolls.
Like, with Paul George, right?
I mean, can't we run Paul George and Monta Ellis in a pick and roll?
Well, that's beautiful. Paul George got called for a garbage moving pick in the Utah game. So we are starting to implement that a little bit, I think. But 2 games too late, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to see that 10 times a game.
We talked about that in the offseason. Right? Like, that is our go-to play. Why is that not our go-to play?
Right. So, I mean, yeah, Like I said, I think in the Monday show, we're getting up and down the floor a lot faster. It's great, and we're starting offense much more quickly, I think. But I haven't seen necessarily any revelations in the offensive scheme that makes me seem like, oh, okay, this is all going to work. We're going to get a bunch of open shots for guys, and we just haven't knocked them down yet.
Right.
I mean, I think
I agree with that.
Maybe it's coming, but...
No, I mean, I think I agree with that. Like, it's funny. When I'm watching these games, I felt like the happiest coach on our sidelines for much of this was probably Dan Bark. Because our offense should have been better. Our defense could have been worse in some of those games, right? Like, Dan Burke, I feel like he feels like he translated pretty well into teaching quick hands and, you know, passing lanes versus man-to-man defense. But offensively, we've just got a ways to go. And that's Nate. And Nate has got to get these guys understanding what they're supposed to be doing. And right now, we're getting into our offense earlier, but we're not getting anywhere with it yet.
I mean, it feels like I'm watching me when I play NBA 2K16. And I don't actually call plays. I just pass the ball around a lot, and hopefully somebody's open, and then they hit a jump shot.
If somebody falls down,
and that seems like our offense right now. And when I'm playing on, you know, rookie level, it's great.
Yes.
But when you step up to pro, then it becomes much harder, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, does our schedule get any easier at least? Because I feel like we didn't have any gimmies last week.
Well, so in theory, we had gimmies, or quasi-gimmies, Tuesday and Wednesday at Detroit.
Who's 3-0?
Who's 3-0?
Damn it.
And Andre Drummond, by the time you hear this recording, will have had probably 25 rebounds against us or something.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday, the Boston Celtics... We're in Bankers Life Fieldhouse, so that's going to be a...
It's going to be bonkers.
Or was a toughie. But this weekend, game of the week. Game of the week.
Game of the week.
Friday, November 6th. Hosting the hated Miami Heat.
Boo.
I hate them much less now that LeBron's not there.
Oh, I still hate
them. I hate Dwayne Wade so much.
Chris Bosh. Angers me too.
I hate Dwayne for 40%, for 50%. I've only got 50% Dwayne Wade hate because that's how much he plays.
Fair enough. Maybe he will not play this game.
Yeah.
This game's on ESPN. Joey's going to be in a suite.
Nice.
And yeah, are you playing the drinking game that Colson proposed?
Well, it's it depends on
It's free beer, right? You just drink all you want.
It depends on where the security guards are.
Okay. So what is it? It's you take a drink every time Paul George complains to a ref.
Yeah.
That's the game.
Man.
Okay.
Call me before the second quarter, because after that it will be incoherent.
Truth.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Real briefly, Jan Mahimny is averaging 1.7 blocks this season, and Jordan Hill has 0. You're asking about blocks. Their career, they're both 0.7.
Career stats is... I don't think that the three-game test set.
No, they're both 0.7 on their career. So,
right.
I don't think either of them are a standout.
And that's exactly it. The best shot block on our team is without a doubt Miles Turner, right?
Mm-hmm.
So looking ahead to this game, though. So the Heat so far are 2-1 on the young season. They've beaten the Charlotte Hornets. They lost to the Cavs, and they beat the Houston Rockets.
Manhandled the Rockets.
Hassan Whiteside scored 25 points in the game.
Yeah, what is that about?
Which is insane. I'm not sure. So, I mean, what to look for? I mean, I guess the key matchup here is we'll get to play our small ball against them, and it's not going to cost us too much, I don't think.
Well, I mean, if Hassan Whiteside is worth 25 a game, it could. I mean, this will be a really interesting experiment.
Yeah, and I guess you'll have Paul George matching up against Chris Bosh.
Yeah, which with all of our matchups with them, I don't know if that ever really was much of a matchup.
No, but that's a great match. I think that's a good matchup for us.
Mm-hmm. Chris Bosh doesn't want to get down in the post and dirty it up.
No, he wants to be out on the wing and hitting shots, and that's where Paul George is most effective.
That's right.
And he's only got, what, an inch or two on him? So.
True.
I don't know, just not a huge height disadvantage there.
Sure. No, this will be an interesting test game against, you know, an established Eastern Conference team who knows kind of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the kind of teams that we need to measure up to and find out where we're at. We're at home. That's a good thing. I like a win in this one.
Ooh. I like it, too. We got to shut down Goran the Dragon.
Well, George Hill has not been getting it done shutting down points this season, so he's due for one.
I am predicting we're 0-5 going into this game, however.
Really?
Yeah.
But this is our first win.
This will be our first win. Saying. I like it. We'll be 1-5 after this game.
I am excited to see Justice Winslow and see what he's doing, if he's playing at all. Looks like he's not playing that. Oh, 20 minutes a night. That's a lot of Justice Winslow. Good.
Yeah, he's had some highlights in the early season, too. That kid can play.
I'm calling this will be our third win of the week.
Oh.
Bring us back to 500.
So it's a...
Next week it'll be all roses and lollipops from Colson about the Pacers. All
right. I like
that. Well, there is going to be one more game before we record again.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Is that at the Cavs?
It's
at
away.
At the Cleveland Cavaliers. Speaking of your buddy LeBron James.
Yeah.
So, Overreaction Theater, to get back to this, LeBron James' back is broken.
Yep.
His career is over.
Yep.
Can we just pencil in somebody else to win the East this year?
My backup team was the Wizards, so...
Mm.
I know both of you guys have the Bulls, but I'm taking the Wiz.
Okay. I like it. In all honesty, this back thing scares me. It's not good. I don't like it when the greatest basketball player on the planet has to check himself out of game one of the NBA season after 5 minutes to go lay down on the sideline.
Yep.
Does not make me happy.
No, back spasms and all that kind of stuff, it just doesn't quite go away, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I hope he gets better, because even though it never does get better.
Good luck, even though you're going to die, we all die.
That's right.
Your back will go out to some point. You might as well just have some wine.
It does not matter.
Smoke a cigarette. My accent is getting muddled. This is not good.
For the good of basketball, I hope the LeBron James is.
Okay. There's a.
It's just tough.
We have a. Spit it out, John. We have a sticker on our fridge that says, "Whenever you have a bad day at work, remember you're going to die soon." And it kind of reminds me of that. Hey, look, your back is terrible, but remember someday it'll be over. You're welcome, LeBron. I hope it does feel better and you continue to you're the greatest career of all time. I hope the Pacers beat you in the playoffs.
Is this the year of the nihilist? Okay. John, you had started last year.
Been this way for a while, yeah.
But it's really stepping up.
Well, the Pacers they broke me. I don't know what this is.
They broke his brain.
0-3, man. Oh God.
But matchup wise against the Cavs, here's one where it gets tough to play small ball because you got to play against Kevin Love at the power forward position.
Mazgaff.
Yeah, Timofey. Well,
but, I don't know. See, I don't know. I don't think that Kevin Love would just as soon be out on the three-point line as in the post.
Yeah,
he loves to bang when he rebounds, right?
Right.
But
right.
He'd rather be facing the basket, and especially with help. I think Paul George is fine with that matchup. And
also on the flip side, yeah, Kevin Love does not want to chase him or CJ Miles around screens.
Have you ever seen Kevin Love get around a screen?
No.
Never happened.
What's up with that guy's hair this year? I don't understand it. Have you seen it? It's like long and fuzzy, but he somehow is wearing like a headband, so it's kind of smushed down in front and then like poofy in the back. It's like a 50s like bun thing or something. I don't know what's going on.
What the hell is going on with him?
Right? It's weird.
Unknown.
Don't worry. It'll be over soon.
Sorry, we're going to die soon enough.
We should probably go now.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I got to prepare my funeral arrangements and whatnot.
Well,
okay. It'll get better, Pace Nation.
I've just decided I'm going cremation.
I've been thinking green burial. I don't know what you guys feel about that.
What does that mean?
It's like a way.
Is it a hybrid or something?
I guess, in a way. I don't know.
If you just walk into the ocean, is that what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you just get like buried in the woods somewhere, and you know.
And what by us?
Like, and then you get eaten, like you would originally, right? Like,
okay, but I mean, like, do I have to like drag you into the woods? And
oh yeah, this is definitely you are the person that's dealing with all of this. Am I in
the will? Coulson must throw me in a trunk and drive me to the woods.
Now look, we're beyond you know, overreaction theater. There's no way that you're gonna outlive me.
So, so you're gonna have to drag all of us out into the woods.
That's right. The plan.
Remember that it was your idea when this happened.
That's right. Friends help you move. Best friends help you move your dead body.
There's a Hallmark card if I ever
Let's
heard.
Be real, guys. We're all going to take a cyanide capsule when the Pacers win their first title in 2050 or whatever.
That's exactly. Right. We've reached the height.
How do I not sign this pact?
So are we going to wrap you in a biodegradable, like,
tarp? It's something like that.
Yeah. And we just take you out and the worms eat you.
Just a giant seaweed. That's the idea.
You go back into the circle of life. You become, you know. You're used. As opposed to being cremated, then all your stuff never gets used, right? It just gets burnt up.
True.
Sure. But you didn't...
Like, because I like the idea... This is getting pretty heavy for a basketball podcast. I like the idea of sort of... It's sort of reincarnation in a sense, right? Because the things that made up you go back into some other living thing, like directly.
Right.
Whereas if you're cremated, then that doesn't happen. The things that happen... You know.
Burn
your remains aren't useful to anything else.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, if you just...
That's a bunch of carbon, you know?
Your cremains. Yeah. I guess, yeah.
But, I mean, you know, if I don't drag you to the woods, you're just going to be rotting on your couch anyway, and, like, nobody really eats you or anything.
Yeah.
You're just smelling up the neighborhood, really.
Yeah. Maybe I'll try. I like this wander into the ocean thing.
Yeah, so that's not
like
bad.
The end of the. What was that book? The Awakening.
Yeah. There you go. I don't know. I feel like
I'll give that some thought.
I feel like you don't. I mean, you're not taking up a. You're not taking up a plot, right? You know, they're not just burying you in a biodegradable bag, or like you're just sort of like curled up in a ball in the forest floor.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I go with this.
Okay, cool.
Excellent. So we've all made our death plans. Next week on the show, Wills.
I always kind of be buried, not in a casket, but yeah, in some sort of trash bag. You know, and then have a tree planted where I was. I don't need a headstone or whatever, just a tree. It's sort of like, right, and I feed the tree, right? That's right. The goal. That's what I always thought.
Yes, it's one creepy ass tree.
We're on the same wavelength, yeah. But you don't need a garbage. You don't want a garbage bag.
Well, no, one of those biodegradable ones. I don't want
you want a like burlap sack or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I just don't want people to spend a bunch of money on it.
Like
on
some
a
cheese. You just wrap yourself in cheesecloth or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I don't need like a pillow top when I'm taking the eternal
really
nap.
Weird place.
I don't need Tempur-Pedic. Fantastic. You know what I'm saying?
Tempur what?
Tempur-Pedic.
There's a D in there, right?
I don't need the Tempur-Pedic.
Jesus. I am not cutting this show. Not editing this shit.
If I'll do it, and I'm going to leave every bit in.
You should, man. This is gold. This podcast is gold.
Oh, my goodness. You guys,
someone shut this down, please. Yes. Just end it. End it now.
All right, folks.
Let me wander into the woods.
Put it in its cheesecloth bag. Put it to bed.
That's right. Let's wrap it in its cheesecloth bag and plant a tree where it is.
Drag it into the woods.
This thing is dead. Toast. Oh man. So. Oh, maybe our podcast careers as well. We'll see.
Well, until that grim day comes, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We are on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. The website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us a message. You can review us on iTunes. It really helps new listeners find our show. We get t-shirts for sale.
Oh, and for our once and always coach, now in the Hall of Fame, Bobby Sick Leonard. Turn Not out dead. The lights. As he understood philosophically. turn out the lights. The party's over.
Good job.
Oh my god. I don't know if those are our best or our worst podcast ever.
It was fantastic.
Holy shit.
Sorry,
Mom.
Definitely
the best outro ever.
Yeah, no question.
Oh, my face hurts.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from Geico.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the Geico app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the Geico app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.